question. Actually, you probably ask some questions now, don't you? You have an article of clothing that you should have thrown out a long time ago, but you hang on to it. Maybe because it's so comfortable. Or it's so stylish like this one. Those of you that are not familiar with our barn ministry, we have some clothing in the clothing barn. I have to sadly confess that this is an item that came from the clothing barn that I had the children destroy for me today, and I appreciate that. But for the clothes that are not to be destroyed, that are to be sold and worn, we have a great ministry in the clothing barn, and items are inexpensive and are able to be a blessing to people. The other day I cleaned out my closet and drawers, and I think it was 10 garbage bags full of clothing that I donated to the barn. It is ridiculous how much we accumulate piles of stuff we don't need. You may wonder, what in the world does that have to do with the book of Ephesians and the study that we're doing and what the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus about clothing that we wear? Well, let's take a look. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Some of you were already in Ephesians because you knew that's where we were going. You were primed and ready. The pages turned. Elkie, it's not fair because you printed my notes, so you knew where we were going, but that's beside the point. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus. Actually, I'm going to go through verse 24 right now. So starting in verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So I guess I'll ask the question again. What does clothes have to do with this? In fact, I guess the real question I'd be asking this morning is, what are you wearing? Now, obviously you guys all have your, I'm going to church today, so I'm going to look cool kind of clothes on. Not quite as stylish as me, but, you know. But I'm not really talking about that, am I? What are we clothed with? Because Paul says to put off your old self. And I want you to kind of have that picture of clothing. Put off the old self and be clothed with Christ. All right, now, Paul gives us three instructions that will help us to make a better fashion statement. And I would say that while this is a fashion statement, it's probably not a good fashion statement. Although, if some of you are thinking this is a good fashion statement, this jacket could be yours for a donation of pretty much any amount. Let's take a look at the old self, because he says in verse 22 to put off your old self. But the beautiful thing is, in verses 17 through 21, he actually describes what that old piece of clothing looks like. He describes it. And probably something nasty like this, right? Because in verses 17 through 19, he talks about this old self, this old clothing that we says that you were clothed with to take off. Verse 17 through 19 talks about hardness of heart, darkness of heart, deadness, and recklessness. These are kind of the things that describe what the old self looks like. And all of those things would be, it's stuff that looks awful, right? Verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Now, this Greek word hardening is porosis, which is taken from the word poros, which means a stone harder than marble. There are some people's hearts that are that hard. You're not getting through. They have built that wall. It is impenetrable. It's the same word used in Mark when those in the synagogue decided to kill Jesus after seeing him heal the man with a shriveled hand. They hardened their hearts. There was no way they were going to accept what Jesus did. And in fact, Romans 1:18 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." They hardened their own hearts. They suppressed the truth. They put that wall up and say, "You're not getting any further than right here." Hardness of heart. That's one way to describe the old self before Christ transforms us. Well, then verse 18 says they are darkened in their understanding. Look at it this way. The more a person suppresses the truth and hardens their heart, the more darkened they are in their thinking. Because they're not willing to hear the truth, they become darker and darker. You ever hear some so-called expert on a news channel? You know, I love it. They bring in some guy, and of course he always has a number of different doctorate degrees, and he's went to this university and that university, and then he gets on the air and says something like, "Well, pedophiles deserve their constitutional rights. It's free express." I mean, they come out with some just ludicrous comment. You say, "Where did you get these degrees, and what fool gave them to you?" Right? Darkened in our understanding. When we throw aside the knowledge of God, what happens to our understanding? It becomes darkened. Look at it this way. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 says this. It says, speaking of those who rejected God, it says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools." There is this progression here. Paul develops that in Romans, where we understand God exists because of what he has made. We see our hand. We say, this hand had to come from somewhere. Well, okay, well, I was born in my mother's womb. Okay, but somebody created that. And who created my mother? And who created the first beings? And all that, you go all the way back. You look at the trees and all around, you say, The idea of this randomly happening, a bunch of molecules just kind of bounced into one another, just caught, doesn't happen. Yeah, but, well, this species turned into this species and that species. One example. There are none. Scripture talks in Romans, although they knew God, it was clear to them, being seen from what he has been made, that God exists, they didn't glorify him. They didn't give thanks. Instead, they sneezed. Excuse me. They did not give thanks to him. And so, Paul says, their thinking became futile and their hearts were darkened. And here, that's said in Romans, and here he brings it out again in Ephesians, and he says, darkened in their understanding is a way of describing those that wear the old sinful self. The longer you suppress the truth, the more foolish you will become. It is amazing to me how many people are put forth out there as being wise, as being just so godly and so great, and they're just so not. I read a book a number of years ago, picked it up. It looked great. It looked like the kind of book, and I think I've mentioned it here before, but I'll give you a couple of snippets from it. This is the kind of book that if you were a parent and you saw this in the store, you would think, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to buy this for my teenager. I've got this daughter, Bethany, she's like 13. Oh man, she drives us out of her minds. If only she would read this book, this would be a great book." You could be a parent like that. And I love terrorizing my daughter in the service here. Anyway, the book is called Conversations with God for Teens. Sounds good, doesn't it? It's a nice title. Conversations with God. Typically, people who would grab that book would say, "Well, I certainly want my teenager to have a conversation with God. That's a good idea, right?" And it's a very engaging title, written by a guy who basically writes this book as if he were God responding to all these kids who are asking him all these questions. So, and it's written as a conversation. So let's just go through some of this. Here's some of the dialogue taken from this book. This supposed teenager says to God, "You mean you really do not judge? You forgive everyone no matter what the sin?" Now, as soon as I read that question, I say, well, there's two things here. You really do not judge, you forgive everyone. I do believe that he forgives everyone no matter what the sin, but he does judge as well. So that's an interesting way that question was phrased. But let's look at the answer. God says, apparently, "I do not forgive anyone." That's the first thing you must understand about me. I will not forgive you ever for anything that you do. Once you're clear about this, you'll have a new understanding of God, and you'll be able to interact with me in a whole different way. I do not forgive anyone because there's nothing to forgive. That's really bad theology. That's utter nonsense. That would be, if that was true, that would be the occasion then to take this and throw it out the window. This means nothing if that's true. But let's continue. This child says, "But how can I ever erase the bad things I've done from your judgment book so that all would be forgotten and I could start over?" "My wonderful Ayla, there is no judgment book. That's what I'm trying to tell you all. I'm not Santa in the sky making a list and checking it twice so that I can find out who's naughty and nice. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. It may be a surprise for most humans to learn that there is no such thing as right and wrong. There's only what works and what doesn't work, given what it is that you're trying to do." There's no right and wrong. Yeah. This guy is having a conversation with teens, supposedly as God. He is completely darkened in his understanding. I could go in great detail in that book and show all of the ways in which he has completely rejected everything that is God and everything that God has said in his word, and then he purports himself to be wise. He's not wise at all, but rather darkened, completely darkened in his understanding. All right, and then in Ephesians here in verse 9, it says, "Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." One thing I know about playing guitar and playing bass, and I just recently joined another band, and I'm playing bass now, right? So, because in praise team, will my daughter allow me to play bass? No, she's not. She won't let me. She's that way, and so I play guitar. She can play guitar, but she doesn't. Anyway, so playing a band again, I'm playing bass a lot more, and I'm developing my calluses on the end of my fingers. If you haven't played in a while, then you start playing for a few hours, and your fingers get all ripped up because they're too tender, and you have to build up a callus so that doesn't bother you anymore. Well, kind of in that same understanding, that's kind of what happens with having lost all sensitivity. They've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a lust, continual lust for more. What happens is you get so involved in chasing after every pleasure, every sin that you possibly can, that eventually you don't even have, it doesn't prick your conscience anymore, it doesn't get your attention, you become so callous to it, you don't even realize you're doing it, you don't even think about it. There's no sensitivity left anymore. Think about it. Jerry Springer probably used to be shocking at one time, but now there's shows far more shocking than that. And you talk to your parents and talk to your grandparents, of anybody in this room, no matter what age you are. And talk to them about the shows or the programs or the books or the media, whatever that was available when they were young. And they will tell you there were things you would never see, you would never hear. I did a bus trip to football kids, a high school football team, and you're hearing the kids talk, and I heard the coaches saying, there's an old guy there, was one of the coaches, and he was saying, "We never heard these words when we were on the football team in high school 60 years ago, blah, blah, blah." You know, the culture changes, not in a good way. We become less sensitive, we become desensitized, right? And the impurity is, you don't even notice it anymore because you're so over, it's just so common. All of these things, the darkness, the recklessness, the deadness, are all describing the kind of clothing that I'm wearing in a spiritual context. Hearts which are hard, which would rather hang on to their old filthy clothing than change. Now think about it. Would you find it a little odd if I decided after today's service, after this sermon, you know, I kind of like this. I like this jacket. I think I'm going to wear it, you know. I think I'm going to go for a new job interview, some really important company. I'm going to walk into my interview wearing this because this is style. True that. You would think I was a little nuts, wouldn't you? I would hope that somebody here would think, well, you may already think that, but for that reason alone, that you would think he's a little crazy if he thinks that this is a stylish-looking jacket. And yet, how often do we go around with our putting back the old sinful jacket on, walking around in it, thinking that somehow that's all right? Imagine choosing to dress like this. Verses 20 and 20 through 22, Paul basically says, hey, you know better than to dress like that, right? Look at verses 20 through 22 in Ephesians chapter 4 here for a moment. This is Paul basically saying, if you think and that looks good, you're nuts. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, and you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. He says, get rid of it. Stop walking around in that sinful lifestyle and take the sinful life off. Take that clothing off. It's got to go. It represents a sinful nature. And when you walk around, let's think about it like this. If you're going to walk around in a sinful lifestyle, your behavior demonstrates a complete disregard for God whatsoever, a complete disregard that you belong to him, but you're going to wear that sinful coat. When you start telling somebody about Christ, what are they going to say? They're going to say, I'm sorry, I can't hear what you're saying over the loudness of your coat. The church at Ephesus told, hey guys, you're going to call yourselves believers in Christ, and I'll call you that. You are believers in Christ. He says that in Ephesians 1. He calls them saints, right? He says to the saints at Ephesus, that old sinful self, take that off. Get rid of it. Throw it far away, right? This is pretty stylish, though. What's he then say? He says, take off the old clothing, and then he takes us to the next point, and he says, put some new clothing on, right? And he says here in verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Be made new in the attitude of your minds. This is something we need to do right before we put on the new, being clothed with Christ. How does that happen? We have to have different thinking here. Modern spirituality teaches that we all have an inner light. Well, just follow your inner light. I'm going to tell you, this is a button of mine has been all week long. So you know that when my button's been pushed, you're going to hear about it. So my button was pushed this week. You may be shocked to know that I peruse Facebook occasionally. All right, that's an understatement. I love Facebook. I think it's so cool. All right. But that's a side note. The other day, Steve Jobs passed away. How many of you know who Steve Jobs is? Creator of Apple, iPhone, iPad, all that, passed away this past week. 50-some years old, very young guy. And I, like anyone else, I thought it was a very sad thing that he passed away. But there was a part of me that was irked, and I'm going to tell you why I was irked. All of these people are posting on Facebook, you know, because everything with Apple is I this, iPad, I, so people are putting, you know, on their Facebook posts is I mourn, you know, and there's all these little icons of an apple with a tear and all of these, I mean, I don't know how many friends of all the friends that I have on Facebook are commenting how deeply distressed they are that Steve Jobs passed away and how inspiring he was and how he changed the world and all of this stuff. And again, did he accomplish great things in the area of technology? Things, oh my goodness, he did. It is astounding how much he accomplished in that field, no question. What I found very interesting is, a couple of months before that, have any of you ever heard of John Stott? John Stott is an Anglican theologian, died, he was about 90 years old, considered by Billy Graham as being one of the greatest theologians the world has ever known, wrote a book called Basic Christianity that was essentially taking the truth of Christianity, of Christian doctrine, and writing it in a way that people could easily understand. That book was published in about 60 different languages. John Stott was a tremendous expositor of the Word of God, impacted my life, touched many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people are in heaven today because of John Stott. Do you know that I don't remember seeing a single person write about John Stott when he passed away on Facebook? Not a one. I have tons of Christian friends on Facebook grieving and mourning and how devastating it is that Steve Jobs is gone. And don't misunderstand me. I don't think it's not that it isn't sad that he passed away. What is so inspiring about Steve Jobs? Maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe he had good godly truths to impart to us. In fact, here's the speech that some of my Christian friends were saying was so inspiring. So here it is. Ready? Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma. What's dogma? That would be teaching. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. Don't be trapped by dogma. If you're listening to dogma, which you are right now, by the way, Steve Jobs would say, you're listening to somebody else's thinking. Ignore that. Listen to your own inner voice. That'll guide you. And follow your heart. You do realize that Jeremiah tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Did you know that? And speaking of the inner voice, here's Paul. Here's the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 talking about the value of following your own inner voice. Ready? Romans 7, verses 18 through 25. I know that nothing good lives in me, Paul starts. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. You know what Paul says about the inner light? He says it's pretty dark. He says my inner light is sinful. And the problem that I have is I don't want to listen to my inner voice. Paul's actually saying, my inner voice, that's what I'm trying to avoid. My inner voice is getting me into trouble. I'm trying to avoid that, and I'm not doing very good at it either. I'm trying to follow my heart, but that ain't working. It's taking me right down the wrong path. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is Jesus Christ that will help us out of this body of death. It is Jesus Christ who will help us not to listen to our inner voice. I'm sorry, Steve Jobs, but the inner voice is not the voice to listen to. It's not. And you might create great technological advances. He died with an estate, I'm told, of over $1 billion. Some of it came from me. Love my iPhone. Love my iPod. love Apple, love iTunes. But here's the deal, folks. If you give me the opportunity to lead one person to Jesus Christ where they will spend eternity with God in heaven, as opposed to being a billionaire, where that doesn't, and nobody comes to Christ, I will choose option one every time. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It's perspective. Paul says, be renewed in your mind. Have a proper understanding of what things are really about. Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. This world has its own definitions of what is success. Success, making a certain amount of money, at least six figures or more. Big house, big enough garage, at least bigger than your neighbor's. Right? Nice car in the driveway that actually runs. I have that problem. one that actually has a muffler that's not rusted out and roaring as you go by. You know, maybe that vacation home somewhere else and you got more stuff than the next guy. Okay, that's the world's understanding of success. And Paul says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. Why? Because then you'll be able to have the right perspective on what is really of value and what isn't. Our mind needs to be renewed. We need to remind our mind of what is really truth and what isn't. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I love this. Paul says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. I love this. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Here again, Steve Jobs would say, well, your thoughts, that's your inner voice. Got to listen to that. And what does Paul say? We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You have a thought and your inner voice is talking, you tell that inner voice, you better do what Jesus says or I ain't listening to you. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's good stuff. That's important for you to do. How often on Sundays? You know how often you do that? Every time a thought comes in your head. That's how often you take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. You think that just because a thought came in your head, it's a right one? It's one that pleases God? You think following your inner voice is going to take you on the right path without any guidance from Christ at all? I don't think so. Take off the old clothing, renew our minds, and put on the new clothing. How do we get these new clothes? Because we definitely want to do better than that, right? That was pretty hideous. We receive those as a free gift of God, right? Remember Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 we already looked at? It is by grace you are saved, through faith and not by works, lest any man should boast, is a gift of God. God gives us new clothes that are clean, that are righteous, that are pure, that are holy. It is a beautiful thing when you look in the book of Revelation and it talks about those who are in heaven and it says that they are clothed in white. They are pure robes that have been given them because of the righteousness of Christ. Psalm chapter 51, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. This is after he was confronted with his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, right? He confesses his sin and he says, Lord, forgive me. And he says, create in me a clean heart. And that word create is in the Hebrew is bara, which means to make from nothing. It's not the word that we use to build, like you're going to build a house, we need two befores, we need nails and blah, 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 and you take assembled materials and put them together. David's not saying, take my old heart and rebuild it. He's saying, I need a brand new one. This one's so messed up. It's so sinful. It's so corrupt. I need a brand new clean heart. And it is actually the same word, bara, is the same word that Genesis 1 uses to talk about the creation of the universe. God, out of nothing, spoke into existence that which is. And David is actually saying, create from nothing. Give me a brand new clean heart. We need brand new clean clothes to wear. A new self, not obtained by human effort. We surrender our sinful nature to the Lord. We submit our thinking to Christ, and we receive a new nature, clothed with his righteousness. Romans 13, 14 spells this out even a little further. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Romans 13, 14. And he literally uses that word, clothe. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be wearing the emperor's clothes. We want to be clothed with Christ, right? We don't want to be wearing that. We won't be wandering around talking about Jesus, but looking like that, people are going to say, what are you doing? Can't hear you over your lifestyle. All right. I love saying this in conclusion. What are you wearing this morning? If you're a believer still wearing the old clothes, it's time to take them off. It's time to take off the old self. Renew your mind by submitting to God's word and the working of his Holy Spirit and be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, well, you've been wearing those old, horrible-looking clothes the whole time, up till now. But you can have a brand new wardrobe today simply by asking him to forgive you of your sin and give you new clothes, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you have made a way for us in our sinful nature, our natural bent and tendency to just go against your will and your way and rebel against you. That's the way we are made. Corrupt. But you've made a way for us to be forgiven, and you've made a way for us to have the righteousness of Christ, to be clothed with you, so that when people see us, they see that there is something different about us. There is something holy about us, not because we're so holy, but because you have made us holy, and they see you. Cleanse us, renew our minds, and clothe us with the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.